just words coming out. And we read that in Malachi that the heavens were closed up for 400 years. God didn't speak to anybody until about the time of Jesus' arrival. Then angels came and different things happened. And then when Jesus arrived on the scene, John the Baptist and Jesus, the disciples were following Jesus and they were watching him do things. And then they noticed that John the Baptist's disciples, they knew how to pray. And so they asked Jesus, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." So he gives them the Lord's Prayer. We spoke about that last week. And it's amazing because this is what I see in our lives. Is the fact is that the Lord teaches us how to pray and have a relationship with him. And then, in one way or another, he sends them out. And it came to the day that it says that he sent them out. And we have it there in sending out the 12, Luke 9, 1 through 6. And Jesus decides it's ready, and he sends them out. And it says that he gave them authority. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, don't take no bag, no money, no extra shirt. For me, it'd be an extra pair of shoes. I like shoes. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them, those that don't receive your blessing. And people know that I talk about, I believe as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that he has given me the ability to speak into people's lives. So when I go to Starbucks or I go someplace, somebody waits on me on the telephone, somebody waits on me, I always thank them and I say, that's good service. Thank you for that. And people say, man, I needed that. I needed to hear that. And we have that authority to speak into people's lives. And also today I invited Craig and Mary Stamps along, friends of ours, brothers and sisters. Craig was sort of joking. He and I, back in our, especially in my youth and in our youth, we worship God on every street corner in the East Bay. It seems like Berkeley, San Francisco, Richmond, there was a street corner, it was Halloween or whatever. We even got kicked off as Telegraph Avenue one time by the cops because we were worshiping so loud. And anyhow, I'd like to invite Craig and Mary Stamps up. And I'll let them tell their story, but I wanted them to tell about how they were called on their first mission to go and how Jesus sent them out. So.
Bob asked me to start with this story. It wasn't necessarily my first missionary journey, but it was probably the one that excited more saints than any other one, because we were scheduled to go to China, and we had a heart for China, and but we didn't have any money, you know, typical missionaries. We had a big family, and we didn't know where that money was coming from because our last mission trip had pretty much exhausted our funds. We were called again to go again. And but we prayed about it, and a man who was coming out of prison gave us his last $100 to go. Yes. Wow. Wow. He won't be forgotten at the throne room of God. And when I got that $100, when he handed me that $100, I said, wow, that's my fist of a cloud. Are you familiar with the story of the prophet who was looking to the clouds for rain? Elijah was looking for rain. It's an Old Testament story. He was looking for rain, and they hadn't had rain for years. And they asked him to pray, and he went up to the mountain, and he prayed 7 times. And when he was finished praying, he saw a fist of a cloud on the horizon and said, you better get going, King. because this place is going to be flooded out. And they couldn't run back to fast enough. They had to take chariots to get back to the castle in time before that rain came pouring down and flooding the streets. So when I got that first $100, I said, that's my fist of a cloud. I'm going to China. So everybody heard me say that. When it was time to go, all the months that we were preparing, I continued to pack and to get ready, but no other money came in. So not to us anyway. So we had no hint that we were going to get more than this $100. But I, in faith, continued to pack and to prepare myself and the children and everyone for us to go. Now, the children weren't coming with us, but we had to make arrangements for them to have places to stay and so on. So it's the day we're supposed to leave. And my team leader calls me on the phone, and he says, well, do you have the money? And I said, no, I only have this $100. He says, well, what do you think you should do? And I said, well, I'm willing to go to the airport. And he heard that little word of faith, and he said, well, if you don't go to the airport, you will never know if God would have put you on that plane. The airport was a three-hour drive away. So we entrusted our children to my sister, and we called the rest of the team. Notice this is $100 for a team going over. And we made our trip to San Francisco Airport. And we stood in that airport and held hands and prayed while our team leader went and negotiated with the airlines, managers behind the behind the scenes. He went in and he started negotiating. We have no idea what he did, but we ended up with all of our airlines being paid for. We were all handed tickets and $1,000, which is what was required to do what we were doing. And we were on that plane that day. So it was pretty exciting, obviously, to see that and to walk in that faith and to see what God did while we were over in China. And it taught us not to give up, right? Not to look to what we had personally in our storehouses, but to trust that if God was sending us someplace, that we should continue in faith. And even if we had not been able to get on that plane, we would have still continued for the next trip to China because we knew that God had called us to that place in that particular time. And I just wanted to share that story with you because I'm looking at a very small room of people. But, you know, the apostles were a very small team of people, just like you. And you have been called to a great commission. That's what it says on the front of your church. And so I just came to strengthen your faith in that one regard, that whatever God has put in your heart to do, he is going to bring into completion. Amen?
Amen.
There you go.
Oh, it's my turn.
It's your turn.
And come home. And no fries. For $100, you don't get fries in San Francisco. I don't know if I need a mic or not. The follow-up to that story, real quickly, is our oldest daughter, Heather, had an opportunity to go to Africa on a medical outreach. Meaning to that we're recording it. Okay. Hallowed be your name. Hello, I'm back again. I don't have to go any further to be challenged by hallowed be God's name. And I'm challenged more often than not on a financial item. Having seven kids, it tends to push me around a little bit. And I'm not up here to talk money at you, but I am trying to say that in my world, money seems to be that point where hallowed be God's name seems to get in the way. And so here Heather is several, I guess a couple years later, going off to Africa, and the team leader steps up to Africa and goes, you know, there was this couple that went to the airport with nothing more than $100 in their pocket, and they prayed. God answered their prayers. They had nothing. They were spent beyond any reasonable, you know, any possible means that we would find rational. They had none of that, but out of faith, they took the trip to San Francisco, and God blessed them with airline tickets and money for 2 weeks in China to do the thing, you know, the Bible thing in China. And here my daughter is listening to this story, and she stands up and goes, those were my parents, yeah! And again, the idea is we aren't just representing God. We are God's testament church, and I'm not supposed to be preaching right now, so I got to get back to my story. But I really want to encourage you, because family members, your neighbors, people you work with are watching you. And whether you say it or not, you are a Christian. They know that, just by your choices. And so I get to tell my story now. How's that for an introduction? I'm a knucklehead from nowhere. I don't have any credentials to this fact that I'm a pastor. I have any theology. I'm just a dad struggling like everybody else, trying to get through life. And I got around this Christian stuff, and everybody, my 11-year-old daughter goes to the Philippines, prays for this lady who had white eyes. This little old lady gets up with her eyes again, and she's walking away with her vision. My daughter got a chance to see some healing. I don't know how you guys feel about God healing people, but he does do it. I've never witnessed a healing. Have you witnessed a healing? I've never witnessed a healing. Talk to anybody who's been around the block a few times. You'll always run into somebody and say, oh, I saw God do this. I saw God do that. Well, I haven't seen anything. I'm in the Philippines with a team of teenagers in the Teen Mania Ministry. My wife's with us, and we're on the last day in the Philippines. And the Filipinos, I hope I'm not offending anybody, the Philippines are very quiet people. I mean, that's the impression they gave us. And we were doing an in-service for a bunch of youth leaders, and we got them together with our team. And we went through the four spiritual points in the Bible. We got them all going. Everybody was going. We were all working on trying to put up a skit so we could go to the streets to do some support for a local church. And we were out in this. And just before we left, I kind of got an attitude, which I tend to do every now and then. God help me. And I really unloaded on the kids and said, who's going to give a testimony? Who's going to give a testimony? They can take your money. They can take your family. They can take everything you own, but they can't take your testimony. Who's going to give us a testimony? Oh, those kids were as quiet as church mouse, just like you guys. They were just really, real quiet. And I really unloaded on them, and they finally got it. And I had to apologize. I didn't mean to be offensive, but I said, we're going to the streets, and somebody's got to step up. After we do all this witnessing, we got to step up, and someone's got to share a testimony. Now, I'm not going to do it, so somebody here has got to do it, because we're trying to empower the Filipino team leaders. So if one shy person, maybe a bold person, stepped up and said, okay, Mr. Stamps, I got it. I'm going for it. That was it. We packed up the vans. We're on our way. Okay, God, show me a healing. This is my last day in the Philippines. My kids are out there doing their thing. Please show me a healing. Well, anyway, the kids are out there. We get to the streets. They're doing a wonderful thing. We got a wonderful crowd. Everybody loves us. It's all going great. And then they break into teams to, you know, they line up and the team breaks down and they're all starting to pray over people in these long lines. And I get a tap on the shoulder. I said, Pastor, come here. We need you to pray. I said, what are you talking about? I got to watch my team. I'm going to watch a healing. I'm thinking to myself. I said, okay, I got to be polite, you know, keep up the cultural connections, you know, be sensitive to cultural needs. Don't be too abrasive. And I said, okay. So I walked down. They haul me down. They walk me down the aisle. They walk me down the narrow streets. We go around the corner. Here's this big overweight lady stretched down on a slab of wood, rock or whatever, with a little grass mat. They're waving the smoke around. It's kind of like L.A., but they got these incense things going, and they're all going, oh, pastor, pray.
I'm in my head. I can't be doing this. I got to be out in the streets. I know I'm going to see a healing today. I got to get out in the streets and watch my team do their things, because that's what I was there to do. Okay, I'll pray for you. God bless this person, Lord, whatever you're doing here, heal this woman in Jesus' name. That was it. Thank you. Later, I'm out of here. I got to go watch the kids pray. Well, I left, and they thanked me for being as gracious as I was, even though I had an attitude. I said, okay, he's gracious, no worries. I'm out the door, I'm down the aisle, I'm back to the streets. Everybody's getting prayed. So I'm walking around watching what's going on with the team. I look at this one team, and they're praying for some little old lady for doing something. I said, well, God, whatever you're doing, bless these people. And then nothing happened. Okay, I'm going to go over here to the next team. I said, oh, Lord, the guy can't see. Okay, Lord, bless whatever's going on here. No, nothing's happening. I went over here, and I checked out. This guy couldn't walk. I said, God, bless what's going on. Of course, my team's on, you know, all over this. I'm going around to all the teams. I'm not looking at anything. Nothing's happening. Where's this God I prayed for? Where's this holy, holy? Where's this hallowed be dude? What's going on here? I want to see. Attitude check. Well, my wife, and I got the story straight coming down. My wife was busy working with kids, so she didn't see what was going on. But the pastors, the nationals, were watching what was happening. And they asked Mary, do you know who this guy is? Oh, she's my wife. She said, nah, that can't be. I don't know who that guy is. And then she later figured out that was my husband. Well, what happened? We got out on the plane. 2 days later, we're back in Texas. And Mary comes up to me and shares the other side of the story. And what happened? Now, mind you this, I'm super stupid. I don't know what's going on. I got my head going in 10 different directions. And by the way, that lady you prayed for, as soon as you walked out of there, she sat up. She was paralyzed from the neck down. As soon as I walked out of there, she sat up. Each person I prayed for and laid hands on, as soon as I left them and turned my back on them, walking away, totally ignorant of what God was doing, healing was happening right behind me, all the way through the crowd. The pastors would go, who is that guy? God's using him. Something's happening. Let's, you know, chat. And I don't hear any of this until I get back to Texas 2 days later. Point. You never know what God's going to do in your world. Point. You may be a knucklehead like me, and God is going to use you in spite of yourselves. Point. You don't know. But God's got a divine plan. Every one of you is special. Every one of you has a skill set. Every one of you has a gifting. Point, don't underestimate what God has blessed you with. And I guess, can I keep going? We were asked to come down here. And this is, I don't want you to get lost in the mechanics. But understand that you have no money in the bank account. Your credit card, you went to do a credit check on, and they decided to cancel the only funds you had. You had to drive 600 miles. You had 2 days, a quarter tank of gas, and a week of work in front of you. Now, are you going to sit there, have a pity party, and call Bob and tell him you're not coming? Or are you going to step up and go, okay, this is just another opportunity to step up? And so what happened was we went to the gas station. The credit card people decided that, okay, you can have your credit card back. My bank decided to give me the money that I had been waiting for that wasn't going to clear until Monday. And Bob offered to say, oh, come on down, we'll take care of you. I mean, that whole thing just transferred half an hour before we even got down here Saturday morning. Again, hallowed be God's name. Where is God in your world? Is he in your checkbook? Is he in your relationships? Is he in your job? Is he in your home? Where is that hallowed God in your world? Do I have time for one more quickie? Okay. We had a chance in 1990 to go back to Soviet Union. We were a part of a group called Bible Couriers International. We had been one of those prayer things happening again. And again, the resources came through. We just moved up to Truckee. This church out of nowhere knew us for less than 6 months. They decided to get behind us and send us off to Russia to distribute Bibles to Siberia. So Mary and I yelled, charge. Mary was pregnant with our fifth child, Josh, five, yeah. And it looked like Joshua was going to be twins. So here's this little lady, almost as wide as she is tall, waddling through Russia. We were 30 hours to get into Magadan, which was the departure point out of Anchorage. And we show up. There's 12 of us in the team without any luggage. 12 of us, each of us had two full check-ins packed full of Russian scriptures. We end up in Russia. We're trying to blend in and not look like a missionary team without any luggage. Hallowed be your name. Where's God in all that? We have just spent 30 hours getting into Russia and we don't have any luggage. Our leader decided to exercise his faith. He had a decision to make. Are we going to stay in Magadan and wait for this missing luggage? Or are we going to go forward and trust God that in 3 days on the Trans-Siberian train that God will answer our prayers in Irkutsk, which is right on the tip of Lake Magadan, which is the largest freshwater lake in the world? Pardon me? It was a Baikal. Okay, thank you. So here we are on Lake Baikal. So Don says, we're going for it. We're all looking at each other. We have our little fanny packs with maybe some clean underwear and some deodorant and a few little things on us. But where's our luggage? We're here. We got 2 weeks in Russia. We have nothing. What are we going to offer these saints? They're expecting us to come up with something. Well, we get on the train. 3 days later, we're praying. We stop every 2 hours because they got to grease the brakes or whatever. We're out there doing everything we can with these poor Russian people out of nowhere. And Mary's got a couple stories there she could share if she has time regarding, but I won't go there. So we get into Irkutsk, and lo and behold, we didn't have to pick that heavy luggage up and haul it onto the train. Lo and behold, we didn't have to take that heavy luggage off the train. We walk into our hotel, and where's 24 bags of luggage packed to the gills with Russian scriptures? What happened? What happened? It was an amazing ministry. We got a chance to watch 20-some-odd Christians get baptized in this lake while being buzzed by the Russian military helicopters. We got a chance to lead worship like this. We sang similar songs like this in English, and they knew them in Russian. We got a chance to do communion with these folks. And if you've never had a holy kiss with a guy with whiskers, let me tell you, it's quite an experience. They take that holy kiss stuff serious. It was rich. It was really a rich, rich moment. Again, out of faith, out of our own insecurities, we just said yes to God and ran. And didn't have the resources that we thought we needed. We didn't have answers for all the planning that had to happen. We didn't even have our luggage until we got there. So we think, okay, this is good news. God's doing wonderful things for us. We get back on our airplane. We're going back into Anchorage. And as soon as we get on the airplane, we're coming into the landing in Anchorage, every name on the team was called. Every name. And we thought, oh, crud, we're busted. We just completed 2 weeks of smuggling illegal literature. Oh, by the way, the communists view scriptures right up there with pornography and a few other little items they don't want in the country. They take this stuff seriously, at least at the time we were going in, as they do in China, as they do in Vietnam, and as they do in some of the other areas we happen to hit base with, Cuba and such. They take this stuff seriously. So we get our names called on the airplane. We're going, oh, we're busted. And we get off the plane, and Don says, just start praying. We go up the escalator. And at the top of the escalator, there's the staff, all in their formal military airport, Alaska Airlines uniforms, with the president and all the big whoop-de-doo dudes that make decisions for Alaska Airlines. And we thought, okay, we just messed up international relationships. We are in trouble. And instead of being in trouble, they were apologetic. They said, we are so sorry we lost your luggage. Here are airline tickets. You can go anywhere. Alaskan Airlines flies. They're good for a year. And we're all shaking our heads going, oh my gosh, what is God doing here? Obviously, we didn't plan this. We didn't know what was going on. We were just faithful to get up that escalator. We were just faithful in Russia to distribute those Bibles. We were just faithful to be who God planned us to be. No special credentials. We aren't theologians. We don't have anything special that says, oh, look at us, we're special. Not going to happen. God doesn't use the special people. Well, maybe he does every now and then. But it's us. It's the grunts. You got it? We're doing it. This is where God does his best work. We support those guys, but God's using us. And not only that, but they Bible couriers took the tickets, and they sent another team in the next year. Yeah, absolutely, praise the Lord. And, you know, I can't encourage you enough, because I know with just a little bit of faith, you know, conviction of the unseen, right? Assurance of things yet to come. Sound familiar? Hebrews 11:1 kind of thing. He's using you. He's working you. He took Paul all the way through the New Testament to prepare him to share his testimony before the Caesar of Rome. Just imagine what he's doing for you. Just imagine what he's doing for you. You want to share? I can keep going, but I think I gotta give this up. Thank you for your patience.
Bob also wanted this story recorded, so we're going to bear with. When we were in the Philippines, we learned many things. Obviously, going cross-culturally, you learn how other cultures interpret Christianity because of how they've received it into their land. So one of the surprising facts for me was to hear a Filipino pastor after our time there and seeing the Holy Spirit work in their lives. He made this comment to me. He said, "Mary, I always thought that Christian missionaries or those that were spirit-filled were white-skinned." I have no idea why he would think that, but he went on to explain, because the missionaries that had come and introduced Christianity or Catholicism or whatever religions that were practiced so widely in the Philippines were originally white-skinned. Of course, he realized now that had nothing to do with it, you know, any race and culture can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It just happened to be that those people were the ones that came to that, were sent to that island. So, I wanted to share that with you. And I'm going to go on and just say, add to that, I almost didn't come down today because I thought, they can do this themselves. You know, you all have all the gifts. We all have the same saddlebags, you know. We all have the same gifts. But it does say that the church is designed to build one another up in the gifts and to encourage one another in the faith. So I said, okay, God, if there's someone who is missing something or needs some special encouragement, I'll go for that one person who needs to hear this today. So I hope today that we've told you something that has stirred your faith. And I want to kind of open it up now, if that's okay. I'd like to open it up to the people here to ask for that something that maybe they feel lacking or they feel is needed in their walk or their hope or their love or their faith. Whatever it is, that gift that you're feeling weak in or just, gee, why doesn't, like Craig had with the healings, why don't I see any healings?
Thank you.
Okay, so you were asking for that boldness to step out. Is that right? Yeah, okay. In healing. All right. Lord, we just want to acknowledge your presence. You say that when two or more are gathered in your name, you are in the midst of us, and that there is nothing you won't do for us that is in your will to do. We are continually reminded by your scriptures, by history, by the testimonies of other believers, that your will is to see us healed, to see us whole emotionally and physically. And that there is a particular timing to this. But beyond that, it is your will. And we just bless the hands in this place with your anointing. And we just confirm that anointing in their lives.
Lord God, I just thank you for a willing heart. Thank you for willing hearts, Father. You've brought us to this place to realize we aren't alone in your kingdom. We're not alone. You've given us your word. You've given us community. You've given us leadership. So, Father God, I ask for boldness. I ask for boldness for each and every saint in this room, Lord, that they would be bold for you, God. They would be hallowing your name above the world, above the demands of the world, God. They would hear your voice. They would choose your voice, God, above anything the world may have to challenge them with or threaten them with. Hallowed be your name, God. Your name is great above all our bills. Your name is great above our health. Your name is great upon anything this world can threaten us with. Your name is great above entertainment and distractions. Your name is great because you have us here for a purpose, Lord. And it's for that purpose, Father God, we choose you. We choose you, Lord, for what you have to give us. Because what you have to give us is eternal. What you have to give us is greater than anything this world could possibly offer us. You have the truth. It's for your purpose we are here, Lord. It's for your purpose we come to serve with open hearts, Lord. It is for your purpose, Father God. We choose to be a light in this dark world. Father God, give us boldness. Give us the strength to hallow in your name, Lord. Give us strength to finish the race you've set before us in spite of what all the distractions may be. Give us strength to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Give us strength, God, because only from you comes the strength that we need to finish the race you've set before us. So, God, I just ask a special anointing on all the saints here. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you, Greg, Mary. You know, this message is sort of appropriate for our church because as of late, we're finding ourselves in a crunch, numbers-wise. We have a lot of people doing lots of things. Our lease is coming due. Our senior pastor has been needed to be called away. He just got burnt out by the load that's been put upon him about trying to keep harmony in the house, trying to keep people's expectations up, trying to keep people so that they're not going to disintegrate and attack each other or talk and gossip, those kind of things. And we find ourselves in a difficult spot. However, we know that Jesus Christ is with us. His Spirit is here. He provides. I mean, we didn't have a worship team. Two practices, we had a worship team. Just people in the congregation reached out, stepped in. People came from outside to support. That's going to continue to happen. So right now, we're going to go in to have our communion with the Lord. It's going to be a time of ministry. It's going to be a time of not just a religious ritual, but it's going to be a time of unity with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to bless the communion, and then we'll ask you to stand. Father, we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're offering us to abide in you. You said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And then you died to make the deal done, Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for your invitation, and we receive it willingly. Thank you in Jesus' name. So, stand. And start with the front, the first lines. Just come up, take the elements, and return. And from the back first.
If we have my way, we're not going to reorder these. I'm old school, like the old ways. Okay, here's the commitment I'm asking you to make. I was praying about this.
I was praying about this morning, and I think the Lord is asking us, in the light of the testimony we heard, is to forsake double-mindedness. Our yes would be yes and our no would be no. We would not be double-minded. We will choose to abide in Jesus. Jesus, take this bread that's my body that is broken for you and take it in remembrance of me. We remember Jesus.